I suppose we should get going.
All right, everybody, stay right where you are.
Get the hell out of here.
No, you stay here.
You gotta get going, so go.
I'm sorry you came.
Time now for Stay.
Nobody got a gun to your head.
Or go.
I'll be back. Let's go.
All right, Frankie, stay or go. Fun segment we have here on Leafs Lunch. Some things we want to see stay from last night's game. Some stuff we want to see go. We'll take it from the perspective of the Tampa Bay Lightning first and foremost. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first here. I love stories about hockey players who bet on themselves, who have confidence and belief in themselves. And for me, Nick Paul is that guy. He had a contract extension offer from the Ottawa Senators, and I think they were about $500,000 away, and he said, it's not for me, I think I can get more out there. And he gets traded to Tampa Bay, and he scores a big goal last night, and if you watch the replay, he can hardly skate. Like, this guy can hardly skate. Oh, he got a little banged up earlier in the game. He's hobbling around the ice, puck's on his stick, it's off his stick, it's in the back of the net, and I don't necessarily love guys playing through severe injuries, because I've been on that side of things. I know the mental toll that it takes and how much you can set yourself back. But I just love the fact that he's bet on himself and he's executing it now in the playoffs. And whatever $500,000 that he wasn't getting from Ottawa, I have to believe he's going to get that and then some when it comes to free agency. And
I think so.
And that's because he bet on himself. He wasn't afraid. He had confidence and belief in himself and his capabilities, and that's what gets you to that level. That's what gets you to the NHL. That's what keeps you there. And it's just a great story, man. I love it. I'm here for it, and that's one of my stays.
Yeah, man. Nick Paul does it all. That's the saying that they used to have back in Ottawa. Nick Paul does it all. And remember, you know, he was a big part of... Did he score the game winner, I think, last year for the World Championships for Team Canada? He just scored the overtime game winner or assisted on it, but he was a big part of that play.
Yeah, they were it was him, Connor Brown, and Mangiapane all kind of.
Exactly. So, I mean, that guy just knows how to win, man. He knows how to win. I can't believe Ottawa let him go, like you're saying, over, you know, a couple $100,000. But I said it on trade deadline day.
I was like, that's the most surprising one for me, because that's a young player who you drafted, developed, and turned into the player that he's going to be in the NHL. And that's like, you're not a team that plays up against the cap. Like, I don't know. It was just a weird one for me, but hey, you made your bed and you live with it, and Nick Paul is going to get paid.
I thought, and I know James Duffy mentioned this yesterday, and I had the exact same thought, that when Nick Paul hobbled out there, barely, it just got off the ice, hovered around the top of the circle, and then cut into the slot and scored a goal, I was like, that's got to be it for that guy. And it's like his Steven Stamkos-esque moment, where he goes out for a shift, scores a goal, and then that was going to say, hey, you know what, thanks, buddy. You know, you got us a little bit of a cushion, but take the rest of the night off. That didn't end up being the case. He ended up playing the rest of the game, and you could tell he was laboring the entire game. So we'll see. I assume he was playing on pure adrenaline last night. Like you yourself, you said you've played through injuries and stuff, and I'm sure it hurts somewhat more the next day than it does at the time. So we'll see how Nick Paul's feeling.
I could tell you firsthand. Like, I had one instance in the American League Finals with Wilkes-Barre, and I for sure had a high ankle sprain in the first period. And I told the trainer, he's like, well, he goes, if you take your boot off, you're going to be done. He goes, if you want to finish the game, you cannot take your skate off. So I kept it on, and I put some more tape around it. And then after, I took it off, and you should have seen this thing swell up the next day. It was actually quite gnarly. But, that's what can happen, man, when you're just kind of running on adrenaline in those big moments. So good for Nick Paul. I hope he's feeling a little better today.
Yeah, big-time player. For me, when it comes to Tampa Bay and Frankie, I know you're a heat map hater of sorts. But taking the puck to the net, buddy, and just look at the heat map, because that's what told the story between Game 2 and Game 3.
Tell us about the heat map, please.
Look, if you take a look at it, you honestly see nothing but white ice in front of the Tampa Bay goal mouth, right? When you look at the scoring chances from Game 2. And then you look at it in Game 3, it's beet red, and you see four G's right at the goal mouth of the crease, and that's where they were scoring their goals because they were taking the puck to the net, and that's exactly what Tampa needed to do. That's how they score. That's how they've always been able to score goals. Go back and look at the series against Toronto. How did Braden Point score the game winner in Game 6? Well, he took the puck to the net. How did Nick Paul score those goals in Game 7? He took the puck to the net. That's what this team does best, and they did that last night, and to me, that's what has to stay if the Tampa Bay Lightning want to get themselves back into this series and try and win themselves a third straight Stanley Cup. Goals last night for Tampa Bay came from an average distance of 13.8 feet from the net. That is some very high-grade chances and high-grade scoring spots on the ice. And just look at the heat map. That shows you that they took the puck to the net, they got there, and they're able to convert on those chances.
Well, 13 feet, first of all. Ooh, okay. 13 feet is one putt or two putt territory. So yeah, very close to the net. Hope you're not three putting from there. And I gotta ask you, are you part of the heat map brigade? Are you eye test? What are you? I don't know what you are. You're like a hybrid.
Yeah, I am a hybrid. I think that's the best place to be. Like, I think that it has its benefits when you take a look at it. Honestly, all analytics is just more information, right? It just gives yourself more information.
Don't you just see it as confirming what you saw in a
100%.
Game?
100%. And what did I see in that game last night? I saw them taking the puck to the net. I saw Corey Perry going to the net. I saw Patrick Maroon cut right to the net and score right in front of the goaltender. Like, I saw that happen with my eyes, and then it was just confirmed by the heat map or by the analytics chart where it showed me how, you know, where these goals came from or the average distance. I saw it happen with my own two eyes, and I confirmed it with the analytics.
That's why you're the next up-and-coming star in the business right there.
We'll see. We've got a long way to go from there. But, like, to me was the biggest difference.
Yeah, and I do agree with you. Yeah, they did a way better job of getting to that area. And, you know, a little better off the rush, a little better forechecking, a little better in-zone play. All those things combined allow you to get to those areas with the puck. And there were some instances where Colorado looked uncharacteristically, I guess, struggling in their own zone and off the rush. But we'll get into that more when we get into our goes.
Yeah. So why don't we get into the goes right now there, Frankie? Do we want to get into – we'll stick with Tampa for now, and then we'll move over to Colorado. So what were your goes from a Tampa perspective last night?
You know what? I don't have any goes from the Tampa perspective. I think it was a really good game that they played. I guess for me, the first go that I have is Darcy Kuemper. There's a few goals he needs to have. We're talking about Stanley Cup Finals caliber of play, and that wasn't it. And you can talk about how your team struggled on the rush or struggled in zone and struggled with physicality, which I don't necessarily believe all those to be the case, but if you can't get a save, you're not doing yourself any favors. So I think that was a big turning point last night, and the fact that, you know, there's one or two that hits them in the chest and kind of goes in, that can't happen, man.
No, and if, you know, again, just to reaffirm yourself, you take a look at the numbers. He allowed 2.28 goals above expected last night, so that's a big difference in that game.
Yeah. So it's thank you for confirming that with the numbers.
There you go. That's what I do here for you. For me, one of the Tampa Bay still some special teams woes. They allowed two goals on the power play. Still got to clean that up. It's not very often that you can lose the special teams battle and still end up winning the series. So I think that's got to get cleaned up for Tampa. They got away with one last night where they lost the special teams battle. They scored on the power play for the first time all series, but still only 1-for-6. So you losing on that, you're a dash one on special teams. So clean that up going forward. I think that would bode well for Tampa Bay. If I'm going from a Colorado perspective, I think it's exactly what you're talking about. Just the subpar goaltending from Darcy Kuemper. He's got to be better. But also just some leaky defense last night, some uncharacteristic, poor play from, you know, at times, not the whole game, but at times from, you know, Devon Toews and Cale Makar. I mean, the goal by Anthony Cirelli was kind of just those guys getting walked a little bit, leaving some gaps open and allowing him to skate through. Bit of a lucky goal. He tried to, you know, cut across the net.
Lucky, but that's skilled, man. That was a big-time skill play by Cirelli. Like, that, the way he corralled that with his skate, kicked it up to his stick, and then you know what I liked about that goal so much, too? It's like he wasn't going to be just pushed to the outside and put it in Kemper's chest. He tries to bring it across the crease. Anytime you try as a forward, if you try and bring it across the crease, you're going to give yourself a little more of a chance because now the goaltender has to move. He has to do something, and you saw what happens.
Open him
up. Cirelli's not even trying to put it in. It just opened up, and it went in the net. And you, yeah, so you can say it's lucky, but it's a highly skilled play by Cirelli.
Well, you got to be good to be lucky. You know, that's what they say. Yeah. So you got to be good to be lucky.
I got another go, and Kevin Bieksa talked about this a little bit on the broadcast last night, and it's Makar and Taves being split up a little too much throughout the game. Mm. Like, and you can see there's instances where Makar is playing with Byram a lot, Taves gets on with Eric Johnson.
They did this in the Edmonton series a little bit, too, to try and spread it out so that they could make sure that they were defending both attacks, not just like a one line, because Tampa's not a one-trick pony. So they wanted to make sure they did that, like they did with trying to make sure they had somebody on Draisaitl and someone on McDavid at all times. So they tried to implement the same thing in Tampa, it seemed like.
I get that. But as a guy who's been in these situations where you're not playing with your partner on a consistent basis, there's a part of you in the back of your head that's a little... Hockey players hate uncertainty, AB. We just want to know what the schedule is every day. We want to know what we're doing every day, and we want to know that things are going to be, pretty fluid. And so when you're on the bench and there's a lot of variables, the game itself throws a lot of variables at you. But when you have more variables being thrown at you from behind your bench, it's in your head for some reason. I couldn't tell you why. Maybe that's just me, but I'm sure other defensemen or other players could tell you the same thing. And so I just think, I would want to keep those guys together as much as possible because you don't have, I don't think Jack Johnson is as bad as people say, but like, you don't have a lot of slugs back there. You don't need to really split those guys up as much because you see what happens a little bit when they're being split up. It's just, there needs to be a little more continuity with them. They're your star guys. If you want, play them 25 minutes. Just play them more. Don't play your third pair as much, but I would be wanting to keep those guys together a little bit more.
Well, we saw how successful they are together on home ice, and you know that's the beauty of home ice advantage. It can, like a coach like Jared Bednar, in a way, make him feel okay. Maybe I need to do something a little bit different in the way that we deploy our guys. So if we have a defensive zone faceoff, and potentially we need to split these guys up and send out only half of that pairing, just in case they decide to throw out a fourth line, and then it becomes a line matchup. And Jared Bednar got caught a couple of times doing that.
It's too much, man. It's too much chess. Just trust your guys. Trust your guys. And if you want to have them on the ice more, play them more. These guys are machines. Kale McCarr is a thoroughbred. Like, he can handle it. Just give him more ice time. It's okay. And if you need to play your third pair 10 minutes, so be it. You're on the road. Guess what? You played 10 minutes. Not a big deal. We don't need to try finding Jack Johnson 13 minutes of ice time. I think it's irrelevant at the end of the day. I would rather pander towards getting my first pair on the ice together more than trying to find scraps and spare parts for my third pair.
Yeah, both those guys, Makar and Taze, on the ice last night, 4 goals on the ice last night against. So
not
they
ideal.
Definitely, yeah, they'll be looking to bounce back for sure in
I'm sure they will.
Four. Yeah, I think the team in general probably going to want to get a bounce back performance here. I mean, I was listening to McKinnon post game, and even he said, look, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they just got beat 7-0. They didn't hang their heads. We can't either. We got to come out and be ready for game four, put in the time in the film room, and we'll be good to go. Don't worry. They're not worried about this performance. They're thinking that they're still in a pretty good spot heading into the game tomorrow.
And the good players, like a guy like McKinnon, who's obviously a student of the game, but he'll take lessons from a Tampa Bay. He'll take lessons from Steven Stamkos when you see what they just went through, where they got shellacked 7-0 and they came out ready to go. You can see the good players, the great ones, how they take lessons from who they're playing against.
Yeah, absolutely.